think often of what is the makeup of all of us? Where does that come from? And clearly it all points to one direction, people. When we were children, everything, a lot of this stuff, the way we act, the way we are, the way we feel, the way we interact with each other, much of this lessons from our childhood. Some of it we're not even conscious of because it's so implanted into us, we're not even sure where that really comes from. And you know what I mean. I mean, there are times when you're thinking about something, you don't even know where you got the idea from. But it could very well have come and been from your childhood, something that your conscious, your subconscious remembered and went back and grabbed and said, oh, there's that. That's how you do that thing. I guess in some ways it's sort of like riding a bike, right? Or tying your shoelaces. Once you learn it, right? Then you never forget maybe, huh? Well, we're talking today about the lessons of really growing up when you're a toddler, your adolescence years. And all of this makes what we hopefully are is well-adjusted adults. Of course, not speaking for present company here, but... Well, the big question on everyone's mind, it's a gender thing, or is it? World peace, religion, sex, money, politics, climate change, big business, big ideas and big egos. Nothing is off limits. As I'm joined by some of the most accomplished and highly opinionated women from the far left, the far right, and the far reaches of the planet. This is Malcolm Out Loud, and you're listening to Life, Liberty, and the Pursuit of Pleasure. This is Malcolm Out Loud, Life, Liberty, and the Pursuit of Pleasure, Season 2, friends. Wow, good conversation coming here. Today on Life, Liberty here. And let me bring our co-host right on so you can... we got a special guest from Season 1 as well today. But let's get first to Shauna Peters. Shauna is an inner world explorer and guide. She's an intuitive natural health practitioner out of Costa Rica. Taz Thornton is here. She's a best-selling author, UK's number one inspirational breakthrough speaker, of course from the UK. Barbara McGee. Barbara's from... Well, Season 1, you might remember that voice once you hear her. She's a celebrity personal attaché, film, television, and video commercial actress, life coach, counselor in addiction breakthroughs, and the host of LA Miracle Cure on the weekends right here on America Out Loud. So, ladies, and Barbara, by the way, is out of Los Angeles. So we've got it all covered, ladies. Welcome to Life, Liberty, and the Pursuit of Pleasure, Season 2. This is really a remarkable season we've had. And we're on the countdown right now to, again, 100 episodes in Season 2, just as we did in Season 1. And today, as you're listening to this, this is episode number 194. That's right. From Season 1 to Season 2 right now. And so... Shauna, let's start the conversation here and talk about the significance of this. I think a lot of people don't really focus and understand that. You know, kids are developed by, I think from the studies I read, and you probably know more about this than I and probably all of you do, but I'm thinking by, you know, 6, 7, 8 years old, we're pretty much going to be who we're going to be. I mean, that's kind of what I've seen from a lot of studies and thoughts out there. And then, of course, then you go through the adolescent years after puberty and all through that business. But how important is that time of life for all of us?
That time of life is very important in shaping who we are. However, we don't have to hold on to it all forever. And in fact, the subconscious is largely set by the age of 4. So that's very young. That's pre-conscious thinking. All of that time before we're 4.
By the age of 4, Shauna, you're saying?
The subconscious. Yes. Wow. And as an adult, cool. Depending on the amount of awareness that you have, mm-hmm. It's called the subconscious for a reason. You're not conscious of it. So we think that our conscious mind is controlling many of the things that we're doing in the day. I'm going to get up. I'm going to do this. I'm going to wear this. However, the less conscious or the less awareness you have about what's going on inside of you, the more the subconscious really controls the decisions that you're making, the actions that you're taking every day. So what has been embedded in the subconscious by the age of 4 is very important. We can work with it later on in life. However, if we don't, it's going to drive a lot of our day-to-day actions and decisions through the rest of our life.
God, it's so important what you say there. I knew it was young, Shauna, and I guess I'm a little surprised for, but it makes sense, I think, you know, within all of that, that framework of being four. And, you know, now I'm thinking about Taz. There are people we meet on an everyday life, and you say, stop acting like a four-year-old. Well, you know, we know what the hell that means, right? So,
now, you see, I'm the opposite. I'm frequently telling people to act like a four-year-old. What we think a grown-up should be. We need to remember our four-year-old. Absolutely, we go too far into this. I'm now a grown-up, therefore I have to be sensible. I have to put common sense behind everything. And a lot of the time, I need to stop having fun. I can't climb trees anymore. I can't strap a pair of roller skates anymore. And it's all BS. So to pick up on something else Shauna said, yeah, a lot of our unconscious or our subconscious is formed by them. But if that was absolutely responsible for forming the adult we were going to be, well, frankly, you know, I wouldn't be in work. A lot of my work is unpicking that stuff, you know. We can we can learn from others. We can find some early formation from that. But when we get to adulthood, we need to be able to take responsibility for our lives and say, you know what, I learned it this way, but that doesn't fit me. So I need to retrain myself. I need to do something to allow me to be a happy, functional, positive, optimistic grown-up. So, yeah, it's there, but that doesn't mean we can't unpick it and rewire it in the way we want it to be.
We actually see it as sort of the task of healthy adulthood to sort through all of what we have taken on. And when my daughter will be leaving home, that's one of the things I'll be saying to her. Now you need to look back at what you've learned from your father and I and say, is this something that goes forward with me, or this needs to change, or no, that doesn't work for me at all. Just because it worked for her mother or her father does not mean it's going to work for her. She's going to live in a different time. She's a different person, a different personality. That's a task that I think to become a healthy adult, really everybody needs to engage in. Because what how you perceive the world when you're 0 through 4 and how it sets into the subconscious, that is not particularly helpful. If you see mommy and daddy fighting and that's scary, you can't always respond to a conflict like that later in life. But as a four-year-old, that could be an instance where it's utter survival. You need mom and dad to survive. If you're going on through life as an adult, every time you see a conflict happening, you go into survival mode. That's going to be very dangerous for your health. It's not going to work well in your work life. So that's something that you need to dismantle, let go. You don't need to take that with you. And so we just need to understand that there's different phases. It's not bad that we take that on and build those belief systems as children. We just don't have to hold them through life.
Yeah, that's well said. Barbara, when my two children were really, really young, I was always very, very cautious about conversations around the kids, things that were being said. Always wanted to make sure, like, I don't like angriness, negative feelings. I don't really want any of that around the kids. And so I was very much more of a protective adult in that way. In other words, there are times for those adult conversations, and they're not in front of the kid. And, you know, a lot of times, to Shauna's point, I know a lot of people, their kids are 3, 4 years old, 5 years old, and they think the kid doesn't know or doesn't pay attention, which is just unbelievable. Let me tell you right now, people, that kid is paying attention to everything. And you know what's even, you know what's even stranger? I know people who have these crazy phone calls with crazy people, like, because a lot of people can't get away from the technology, and they're like in the next room using vocabulary and using other conversations that you clearly wouldn't really have with a 4, 5, 6 year old. And yet the kid's in the other room and they think nothing of it. And what do you think that kid is doing? That kid is picking up everything. They're like a transmitter. They pick up everything. And I see this time and time and time again, and people are not aware this negative energy feeds off on the kids. It feeds off on the new generation. And it's a problem, Barbara. Now, I know you work with kids, Barbara, a lot, and you have a very passionate about that. What's your take on it?
Well, to be honest, it's very difficult to really understand when a person becomes a person. I mean, when they have their complete tool bag, because we all are processing information and we're all a product of our environment. In other words, we come with a certain set of DNA, genetic driven likes, dislikes, and problems that myself as a parent, yourself as a parent, we may not tell our children that this is our struggle because we're parents, we're adults. So of course we're not going to say, well, listen, mommy teetotals in the afternoon, okay? And this has been an issue for me, but that will reoccur in the child. So a lot of times we don't realize that it's the environment that we, and we can control that. What we can't control is really what we shape, and what we hope that children model after us is what they come with their tool bag. And so that is the instance in when we find that some children, I mean, let's face it, in America, 50% of marriages, almost 53% of marriages, are an end in divorce. So you have children, a lot of the children that I mentor, they have 3 days with mommy, 4 days with daddy, summers. I mean, they don't have a set routine that goes on every day. It's a different routine every day. And then they have their own agenda. They subscribe to their own privacy. And they feel that that's due them. And so what we end up with is a child that has a tool bag that is getting information from different areas that we're not shaping. And this is when we run into problems. And so a lot of us don't feel that it's necessary to have our toddlers or young people interface with a mental health professional. But the problem is that a lot of our children have PTSD. A lot of our children are not adjusting well. A lot of them don't have all the cognitive tools necessary to process information. So a lot of kids, believe it or not, are misdiagnosed. And in America, a lot of our kids are on heavy psychotropic drugs. Now, that is something that we don't take into consideration.
Oh, I do.
When we look at a classroom or when we look at our children's friends or when we look at the neighbor down the street, we know something's wrong and we haven't been able to put our finger on it.
And Barbara, that's well said. And then we wonder why little Johnny goes into the school and bangs it all up, you know? I think a lot of the problems are, part of it's the upbringing, and everything you just said, that was a load there, I got to tell you, because you're so right. I mean, this is where a lot of this stems from, these problems. First of all, the divorce rate is sky high, ladies. There's no doubt about it. I think it's well above that now, Barbara. It's the chances of you staying married are really slim today. The chances of you getting divorced and remarried again, much, much higher. I mean, the divorce rate is through the roof. And so take that into consideration. And the way you put it out there, now think about this, ladies. So you got this whole generation now. Most of them are living between mommy and daddy. So you got two worlds, if it even is that way. And you're back and forth. And now you're hearing all of this stuff you're bombarded with and all of this messaging. Dad does it this way, mom does it this way. And then we want to know why the generation is, you know, pretty screwed up. I mean, on top of what I think is a big problem out there, and we've reported on this many times, is the psychotropic drugs. I mean, this is a big, big problem in the neighborhood here, I have to tell you. This is why a lot of these people are not well-adjusted, ladies, yeah?
Absolutely. Let me tell you this also. And then, you know, we as adults, we all strive or thrive when we have relationships. And unfortunately, we set up our relationships based off of a certain list of prerequisites. And those prerequisites really don't have anything to do with our children. So let's say we're divorced. Let's say we were lucky enough to get married and raise our children. Now we're divorced. Now, guess what? I have a new significant other, and my ex-husband has a new significant other who's interested in us, not our kids. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we bring all these different dynamics into our children and expect them to deal with it. They have low-level resentments for these things. They have dreams that have been broken. I mean, just at 4, 5, 6, and 7. So when they're thrust into the world and they see that, you know, well, they have a daddy. I don't have a daddy. I don't know who my daddy is. Or how about this? I have two mommies. I have two daddies and I stay here and there. I mean, we don't have a normal value system. And I'd say this, you know, it's significant because children need that, those boundaries.
Well,
not
listen,
only do they need those, but they need their grandparents and everything else.
We can define normal many different ways. I mean, there are many ways to define the word normal. I mean, normal is, really though, listen, ladies, I mean, normal is very subjective. I mean, normal to you, Shauna, may be different than normal to Barbara and Taz different. I mean, what is normal anymore? You know, I mean, is there any normal, Shauna? What's normal?
Yeah, it's true. Things are very so different, right, than they were, say, in the 1950s. It was very much more, quote unquote, normal. Everyone was very much more the same. And I think we have to acknowledge that that's not just about individual families. That's what's going on in culture. Everything is sort of breaking up and dismantling all the old systems. And I believe that they will come back into a more settled balance within the next 50 to 100 years. But that's also an outside pressure on families. Everything, nothing is settled. Nothing is normal at this period in history. And so that just really ups the challenge of parenting. Nothing is set for you. You really need to be aware, be intentional about what you're doing. It's not set. You can't take it for granted. You have to work with the chaos and through the chaos of this time that we're living in.
Yeah.
You know, I just heard something yesterday. I want to commend Sheila E., a good friend of mine from Oakland, California, here in Los Angeles and in Oakland, California. She has a musical. She's a proponent of music in schools. So the school system that we send little Johnny and Sally to no longer wants to provide music as a subject. And so she has taken it on herself along with other professionals to bring music into schools. Let me just tell you what they said. They said that it is better when children understand, now get this, when they have an opportunity for their self-esteem to be able to pair and learn dances that allows them to, girls to dance with boys, boys to dance with girls, they say it increases their ability to have self-esteem. To have a performance background, this is all about dance now, to have a performance background, to be able to physically engage themselves and to be able to have something that they can accomplish on their own through training. And I thought that was really interesting. When I was a girl, and I'm still a girl, but I'm an older girl. But when I was a girl, it was all about training. It was all about being able to know your etiquette, how to appropriately present yourself. It was about presentation. It was about your dress. It was about how to show up in the world. And now we don't give our children that. We tell them things that aren't true. Honey, you can be whoever you want to be. Honey, you can do this. Honey, you can do that. No, you can't. You can do it if you're prepared for it, if you're practicing for it, and if you're having lessons to do it. That's how you get it.
Yeah, and I think that's a fantastic point. And another point to add to that, I feel, is that no, you're not going to be anything you want. There is a passion and a draw inside of you towards certain things. Do you know how to connect to that point in yourself? Do you know where that point is leading and drawing you in life so that you can live a healthy and successful life? You know, if we just decide, I'm going to do this because then I'll be happy and successful, we know that doesn't work very well. Are our children learning how to connect inside to that point that will draw them to the life that will make them successful, healthy, and enjoy their life? And I think, you know, I just had been writing down here, like, we kind of kill off their spidey senses. That's how my daughter and I talk about it. You know, are your spidey senses on? What are they telling you about this situation for yourself, about who's around you right now? And we get into saying, no, you can't do that, or give so-and-so a hug, or you have to do things this way. And we turn off those spidey senses, those senses that are their innate, really who they are. And so they just don't have that inner guiding sense anymore to draw them through life.
Well,
you know, I think we can drill down this even deeper. It's that, yes, there's this whole idea of conditioning, and you can, to a point, be whatever you want to be, but there's got to be some boundaries there. For instance, if I wanted to go and be a top racing jockey, I couldn't do that because I'm naturally too tall and too heavy, but I could go and do something similar. But the other point to drill down even deeper is I don't think we're giving kids any idea of ownership of their part in the world anymore. We've lost this kind of rites of passage, for want of a better word. We're not teaching kids the importance of respect and love and care and compassion for everything around them, let alone going into the stuff that's more kind of materialistic, or some might argue ego-led. We're not teaching kids the value of being a quote-unquote responsible, compassionate human being.
Yeah, that is a very valid point, Taz, about that. And, you know, I think of my own son, where I'm always saying to him specific things about other people and about general kindness and about just having concern for everything, having concern for life, having concern for the environment. And I will say this to you, ladies. I mean, he's the first one that if we're walking down the street and a sidewalk and he sees some trash on the road, he'll pick it up and he'll dispose of it properly. It's just innate in him to know that my vision is to have a clean world, to leave the next generation, to have something that is that should be there. And he knows that. He knows I take great pride in that. So it's innate in him, because I taught him that, back to what you were saying earlier, Shauna, when he was 4 years old, when he was 5 years old, he knew that was the way to do it. Well, now, at 14, he's developed. He either cares because there's trash in the street and we'll pick it up, or he doesn't give a rat's petunia. It's one or the other. And then the other question is, how do you learn this later on? It gets real interesting from there. Anyways, there's a very interesting piece that I do want to bring out into the conversation as well, which we will do in the next round here, 30 Life Lessons I'm Going to Teach My Children. I think it's really a very interesting blueprint. There are some good ideas in here I want to share with you all. I also want to get back to talking about our uniqueness and our creation, which is really Taz's sweet spot about, in other words, when we're adults, you know, sometimes we want to remember to act like a four-year-old. We forget that in our lives. It's all too serious. And sometimes we lose that edge and we don't bring it back to the simpler times in our life. Let's pick that up, friends, in just a moment. The goal is to deliver a message of truth, inspiration, and hope to the world, to unite people from all backgrounds and beliefs in an effort to advance humanity. News blogs, informative podcasts, and entertaining videos. It's AmericaOutloud.com. where the conversation never ends, with 24/7 streaming on our free apps on both Android and Apple. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio. Taz, I want to go, before I get to that list of 30, I want to go right back to you a moment, because you are an innovator, you're an inspirational person, a speaker who understands, well, the value of it all, and that we can grow and bring ourselves to new heights in our life. We can achieve if we have the mindset. Now, a lot of people get lost with that, Taz, in adulthood. And let's face it, it's easy to get lost with everyday problems. I mean, with the bills to pay, I got the house payment, I got the utility bills, I got life happening, I got the job. Yeah. Am I really happy? Yeah. And we forget all of these things that are important about life. And as I always say, Taz, life is a gift, and we don't really appreciate all the turning pieces. Another thing, Taz, I see that's a big deal, and that I really think is a problem we should chime on here today, is we don't celebrate our pain and our down points enough. We only want it to be good. And life cannot always be good. It's got to have a roller coaster effect, love. What do you say to that?
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. In fact, only this morning on Facebook, I wrote an update and I gave it started with the headline, "Today sucks and this is why." And then I listed these 5 points about why today was hideous. You know, I've got 2 speaking gigs this week, and then last night out of nowhere I've got a cold sore, and then I have a weird immune system thing going on where when I get a cold sore, it sometimes attacks the back of my eye.
Now, wait a minute, Taz. I got to ask you something right now. Was I one of those five items on that list? No, don't tell me I was.
No, you were going to be number six, Malcolm, but I took it at five. I went into all this down stuff. My diary's packed, which means I'm already feeling overloaded. My back's sore where I broke it all those years ago. And I got so far down, and then I wrote a second headline, which was along the lines of, and if you're following this so far and you're about to dive into the drama pool with me, oops. And then I listed them all again, point by point, and flipped the negative. Because this is what we do. We are, as grown-ups, we get into this drama pool and we look for the negatives all the time and we allow them to define us. And one of the ways that we can get past that is by remembering that child energy. And I talk in terms of archetypes. And when we're talking about child archetypes, we talk about the wounded child, so the child element that's carrying all the hurts and the wounds and the scarrings through life. We talk about the little child that's just pure innocence. And then we talk about star child. And star child energy is that diamond point we want to be learning to tap into as an adult. The way I describe star child energy is, you know, if you see a puppy going outside for the first time and it's like, oh, wow, a blade of grass. Oh, wow, another blade of grass. Wow, more grass. This is just amazing. And it sees the wonder and the magic in everything. That's star child energy. And that's what we lose as an adult. So one of the big elements I work with people on is, yes, of course, you've got all these responsibilities as a grown up. But if we cut off that star child energy and little child and wounded child and maiden, mother, crone, if we're talking about women and the equivalent for men. But if we just go into pure stressed out adult and we lose connection with that beautiful, wonderful star child energy, well, that's where things start to go wrong. And it's where we start to look at the problems. I mean, you just call them problems, Malcolm. I'd challenge you on that and say they're challenges, not problems, challenges. A problem is something that's insurmountable. Right. A challenge is something we can do something about. And we need to get out of this mode of talking about things happening to us and flip that into things are happening for us. Okay, that felt really shitty. Why did that need to happen for me? What did I need to learn from that instead of woe is me? That's what we've lost.
I like that. I like that. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, and I think as a person who is parenting, if you're listening and you're parenting right now, connecting into that, as Taz calls it, that star child energy is one of the best gifts you can give yourself, but also your children. Mm-hmm. Because I think, you know, particularly mothers, they want to give and give and give and just coordinate everything for their children's lives and make sure there's never a ruffle and manage it all for their children. But that is then the model you are setting up for your child to be a parent. They then have to give everything they have. There's nothing left for themselves. When you allow yourself to sit in that enjoyment, amazement, fun energy, you also are modeling that for them and giving them the permission to sit in that energy as adults. And so, you know, many people here will say in Costa Rica, well, we moved here for our kids. In our family, we didn't. Yes, we moved here for our daughter. We moved here every bit as much for my husband and I. It's not just about creating. Yeah, it's not just about creating a life for her. It's about creating a life for all of us. And my husband and I, we want to have a life we love and enjoy because we're coming to the end of these parenting years. We want to love and enjoy being us, be doing our lives, being together after she's gone, not creating a world just around her. That's a very heavy burden for a child. You know, when we give all to our children, that's what we're doing energetically. We're saying, you're in charge of my happiness. So can we, as parents, as adults, give to ourselves, pick up our own child energy, feed it, nurture it, feed ourselves? Can we give ourselves permission to do that? That just frees our children in so many ways.
Shauna, I want to talk about something you say that is just inside of me. I got to tell you, you hit some nerves there, and you're so right. You know, there are so many people who wait. I know people who say, you know what? I'm going to start living in 5 years. Do you know what? Mike, oh, for real. This is absolutely 100% for real. And they'll say, well, you know what? My kids will be out of school and I'm going to start living in 5 years. For real. Somebody just did this to me the other day. A very dear, close person to me said, well, They use that example in 5 years. Now, it could be 3 years, could be 10 years, but they'll start living then. Oh, they can't wait. They could be dead and buried in 5 years, 10 years. Who knows? And they don't live for today. And that really burns me up. And you just hit it right there. I love the way you say, Shauna, that, you know what, when you went to Costa Rica, this or that, for the kids and for the upbringing and what that could be. And isn't that so important? And you know, we put so much emphasis. I see so many people, ladies, that torment themselves like, well, I want to keep her in the same school. What for? She doesn't even like that school. Yeah, but there's this mental thing that people have, adults have, like, well, we got to keep her in the same school so she can graduate. Like, the kid is, I mean, what does that matter for? I mean, maybe a new experience for that kid would be like dynamite, number one. And two, maybe they learn something with a new program because we continue to learn. But what's wrong with that? And Shauna, you're saying, you just like did so much with what you're saying, like, wait a minute. I'm going to do what I'm going to do for the kid, okay? And for myself, first and foremost. And the kid's going to come along with it. Now, what's wrong with that?
And, you know, this may seem counterintuitive. However, there is just a vast fear of happiness amongst people. Oh, and so we will come up with a million and one excuses of why we can't be happy now. We'll say, I can be happy in 5 years. But trust me, if you're uncomfortable with being happy now, you won't be any more comfortable in 5 years if you don't do some of this work that Taz and I have been talking about. And you think, well, why would I be afraid to be unhappy? Well, let me tell you, when you get on that journey and you start sitting with that and somebody who's already walked through that so they can walk you through that, it is a revelation how much we fear being happy. Mm-hmm. And you can't see it off on the surface. Once you get in there,
big stuff,
you'll realize.
Big stuff. Enjoy every day of your life, people. Please don't wait another day. And don't put on life on hold for anybody. Don't do it for your significant other. Don't do it for your kid. Don't do it for nobody. Do it for you. You understand? Do it for you, whatever that means. You know, Taz, the star child energy, I really dig that. Do me a favor, love, so we can connect this show to what we're doing, because I may use that even in the title here. Write a column on that as you are able to, please, and when you can here, that we can run as your weekly column on America Out Loud. I'd love to connect that to this conversation here, okay?
Yes, boss.
Star child energy. It is a beautiful thing. Can you do that for us?
Yeah, of course I will. Yeah.
It's a beautiful thing, honey. It's a great thing. Star child energy. All right. So,
Malcolm. Now, you know, I'm coming from Los Angeles. So
we won't hold that against you. Go ahead.
Oh, that's right. Now,
go ahead. You are an LA girl. Go ahead.
That's right. So let's bring it home. Okay. Now, this is the land of the scheduled. Your child is scheduled from the time they're six to 2 months old until they become an adult and have their own rent to pay. And then they go on with that schedule.
Yeah.
So here it is very competitive. Okay. So it's not about, I mean, I want to be happy, but I'm responsible for my own happiness. And I agree with both the ladies on our panel today, but I really want our audience to really hone in on this. Mm-hmm. Now I understand about the schools and this, and I'm going to move and I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that.
Right.
But really, you've got to be in a school district. This is Los Angeles. You select your school district, and that's how you choose where you move, because the school district that provides, not unless you can afford private, but the school district provides the shaping, the mentoring, and the macro level for your child. The second thing you have to do, now I'm a parent, I've raised several kids, foster kids, international kids, modeling kids, acting kids. Let me tell you what's important. What's really important is community. What that means is the girlfriends that you have, you got to make some new girlfriends. You've got to come out of yourself, and guess what? For little Johnny and Sally, you got to go to the PTA meetings and you got to make some friends over there. You've got to make friends with parents who have the same values as you. And then you introduce your child to their child, and then you work together to make sure that they have good, grounded friendships. Because that's what's important, to have community. So if you're sending your child to a babysitter because you have to work, and we got to work in L.A. because we're trying to live, pay rent, we're trying to pay house notes.
Well, the rest of us aren't on holiday, love. What the hell are you talking about in L.A.? What the hell do you think, we're sucking down martinis by the pool here? What the hell is so special about you in Los Angeles? Come on, Barbara McGee.
Because we're in California, and it takes a lot of money
to pay for all your damn government and your gas taxes and the rest of it out there. I know, honey. You're smogging up the air and
spewing all that. So what's important is you have to find, you have to make a compromise as an adult. So if you know that you're paying for babysitting and that's costing you $800 a month for two kids and it's institutionalized, then you're going to have to make sure that on the weekends, guess what? You're taking your child and giving them an opportunity not only to experience arts and crafts and all that, but what about the spirit man? What about, I heard someone on our panel talk about the fact that there's a discernment and to be able to hear and feel and know when you're in trouble or know that certain kids don't have that gift. Mm-hmm. There are spiritual gifts that we're all been given. Mm-hmm. Everybody doesn't have the same deck.
Yeah.
So how do you find out what that is? Well, if I take my child and make sure they're in the track classes and they're in the physical education, they're doing dance and ballet. Mm-hmm. If I go over here and I make sure they're taking the SAT courses, they're getting the AP classes, I'm telling you how it's going down. They got all the AP classes. Then what I've got to do on the weekend, I've got to find some spiritual grounding for my kid. You cannot work on mental and physical and omit the spiritual man. Because God created us all. And if you lose your life today, what is your child going to do?
Yeah, your point is well taken.
How they're going to move on.
One word of caution, though, Barbara, which we talked about on a show the other day, Barbara, is I agree. I think we all would agree with pretty much what you're saying here, but a couple of caveats here. Number one, when you put the kid in these programs, whatever it may be, don't use the programs as a babysitter. Make sure you're involved in the kid's life. This is where a lot of families go wrong and a lot of children go wrong, is that they put, and I see it everywhere, they use the scouts, they use the church, they use the team down the road, they use the friends, they use it all as babysitters, like so they can go out and live their life. And in the meantime, your kid is put into sometimes some very dangerous positions, even with people you think are just warm and fuzzy. Doesn't always work out that way. That's how a lot of lives get screwed up. And I'm not a big advocate of sleepovers and that kind of thing for kids. I think you've got to know where your kid is all the time. And you've got to know who, and it's not just knowing who they're around people, because there are people who, all the time, people, it happens where you think you know somebody and you don't really know somebody. And, people are, it's a real tricky situation out there. You got to be careful. So the caveat there is, get the kid involved in this. No, you're talking about a well-adjusted kid. I think Sean and Taz would totally agree with you. Nobody would ever move. I mean, you always got to consider the school district if you got kids. I mean, I know, Sean, you would do that in a hot second. I know that. You wouldn't just move and stick the kid anywhere, right? I mean, you would worry about that.
No, that was the top thing on our list when we were moving down to Central America to find a great school. However, I do, and I think what you're saying about not letting extracurriculars and their activities raise them, I think another component to that, and this is on the side of their spiritual health, is that they need to have downtime. Children absolutely need to have time to get bored. I used to be that mom when my child was young, where I would make suggestions when she would come and say, I'm bored. And there's all these things on Pinterest. You can make this little jar with popsicle sticks and it's got all these ideas. Do not do it. Let your children get bored. Beyond the pathway of boredom is wild creativity and imagination. But you must pass through boredom to get there.
Interesting.
If you are entertained every second of the day, if the instant you feel boredom, you pick up a screen, you will not find that in your life. And so you just need to be comfortable that your children can be bored sometimes. It is just one more feeling in the spectrum of emotions and feelings that they are going to feel through their life. So let them get comfortable with it while you are there with them.
You know what? I love That's what you brilliant. Said. But the other thing that you said, I think that everybody that is within the sound of our voices needs to recognize, and that is the phone, the internet, social media. I have a teenager, and the boredom comes from the fact that they become addicted. These devices are primed to addict our mm-hmm. children and ourselves. And I see yep. so many times a young child in the store sitting with the cell phone watching a movie. Whenever the kid needs a pacifier, the parent is handing them the phone. That is one of the most dangerous things you yep. can do.
Let them
is
fuss.
To exactly or let them experience a book. Let them experience mm-hmm. as the environment while you're experiencing it. It does not have to be connected to social media or
and
to
a
an
real,
internet.
And a I real think, book, not the Kindle.
Yeah, and I think that I think that point. Is America's major problem. Yeah. I think that's our social okay. disconnect. I think that's what's making us difficult to get along. I think that's what's constituting these.
Okay.
What it's called is disruptive agitation.
All right. All right, Barbara. So, yeah, technicalities. I mean, the technical world is a technicality in itself. I love the way, Taz, you say, yeah, not a Kindle book, but a real book. Taz, I'm so with you, love. There's something about having a cover and a book in your hands. And you're so
the
right.
Smell and it's
oh, love. There's right. nothing like it, darling. Mm-hmm. Because, and I love books. I'm just a book crazy guy. I just love books. I love going to the bookstore and I love buying real books. But let's not lose that, people in life. Please, let's not lose that. But, you know, there's something about what we're defining right now is the technology world will eat your kids whole. They will eat your kids alive. More Life, Liberty, friends, in just a moment.
Think back to the last time you felt healthy and energized. The best times of our lives occur when we're at the peak of our health, sleeping better, full of energy and focus. We know that fades with age, and you might be feeling the effects of aging as low energy and poor sleep. But it doesn't have to be that way. There haven't been any nutrition systems designed to rejuvenate our bodies as we get older, until now. Healthy Cell Pro is the only multi-nutrient system that impacts the building block of your body, the cell. Created by anti-aging expert and Nobel Prize nominee, Dr. Vincent Giampapa. Award-winning Healthy Cell Pro cuts through the complexity of nutrition supplements by simply giving you the purest ingredients, filling dietary gaps to nourish your cells and enhance your quality of life for optimal performance. Visit HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for an exclusive discount or call 844-869-9958.
The Out Loud perspective awaits you in life, love, politics, a healthy lifestyle, your faith, personal development, and living an out loud life on AmericaOutLoud.com. Blitzer News and Entertainment Network, where you can listen 24/7 on our free apps on both Android and Apple. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio. We are back, Life, Liberty, and the Pursuit of Pleasure, Season 2. We are on the march, friends, to our season finale, May 29th and May 30th. It's a two-part finale. We have so much to get in there, and it will be very, very interesting. A lot of great topics coming up over the next week, so continue to join us there. I want to talk to you about this very interesting article in Huffington Post, 30 Life Lessons I'm Going to Teach My Children. If you all would take a glance at that as well, ladies, I think there's some very interesting things in here. And while we can't do all of them, I'd like to point out a few of these that I think are just good lessons for all of us, not just the kids, but, you know, us big kids as well. Again, now, as Taz would always say, you know, don't lose your childhood. Well, I've never lost my childhood. People every day call me a juvenile delinquent, and I know what that means, and I'm happy to wear that title, Taz Thornton. I wear that proudly, you know? Absolutely. So that's it. I love being a kid. Love being a kid always. So, all right, so there's some really good things in here, and a couple that speak out to me, ladies, and there's some really great stuff in here. Don't be afraid of making mistakes. This is really high on my list. Because every mistake, friends, gets you closer to where you want to be. And it's how we learn. Now,
Listen, I've made more mistakes than probably all of you on this program. I've been the biggest screw-up that I know, probably. You understand? Ladies, I could probably top all of you in the screw-up category, and yet here I am. Yeah? So what do you think, Shauna? Don't be afraid of making mistakes. You agree with that, yeah?
Yep, and I think if you want your kids to know that, then you as an adult have to make some mistakes. I think that's the key to everything on this list. If you want your kids to learn that, you've got to do it yourself.
Really? Well, that's not a problem for me, Shauna Peters.
Well, not me either on that one.
Not a problem at all. There's no perfection over here, love. I'm living life. Totally. I like this other one. Treat everyone with equal respect. I like that again. We don't see that out there today. What do you think about that one?
I love that one. I absolutely love that. The amount of times I've been out with someone who again, is in full I am a grown-up mode. And they'll speak down to the wait staff in a restaurant, or they'll speak down to a cleaner or someone.
Chaz,
that they
I
see
hate
in
it. I hate it.
Job. I
don't like it.
Detest that. You know, a few years back, my wife and I went out into town with these free hug boards just to spread a little bit of happiness. And we had all these people coming to hugs, and then there was a street cleaner who walked past us, and he looked there wistfully for a while and just stood watching us. And we kind of said, "Do you want a hug?" And he went, "Oh, I don't think you'll want to hug me." "Well, why?" "Well, because I'm a street cleaner. This is what I do. I pick up rubbish." Of course, we gave the guy a hug, but for goodness sake, the fact that people are assuming that they will be treated in a different way because of their job, you can learn from everybody. And we need to climb down off our high horses and take our heads out of our backs.
Taz, you and I have that so much in common. I learned my lessons of what you say right there from my mom. My mom was one of those beautiful people who could talk to, as I told you before, Taz, she could talk to the Pope, the President, the Papa, the body shop guy, the guy pushing a carriage. Yep. It didn't really matter. And you know, Taz, I've Absolutely. Been at restaurants with CEOs and chairman of the board. I mean, I have some really nice little places I love to go to have lunch or dinner and hang out. And they treat me like a king, and I treat them as they are, like queens and kings. And they love me. And so here's what I... So sometimes you're out for a meeting. You're out with the big cats, Taz. You know what I'm talking about here, right?
Yep.
You're out with some CEOs and the chairman of the board, and you want to impress them. So you go to a place you kind of know, so you know the service is going to be at least good, right? The food, So I'm there, and you know the servers will come over, the staff, the managers, the others, big hugs and kisses. "Oh, Malcolm, how you doing?" Many times the CEOs will just look, say, "What the hell is this? What are you doing?" I mean, it's like you're what do they call that? Mingling with the staff or something they call that, you know, whatever. But I just think people need to be treated as kings and queens. I think you treat people the way you want to be treated. And you know what? I don't, whether the chairman of the board or the CEO likes it, I don't really give a good rat's ass, ladies.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It should not matter. I mean, if I go back to my journalistic days, I've had, you know, dinner with everyone from the lowest of the low, that as some people might perceive it, right through to royalty. And I'm me. I'm not doing any of the... I'm not going to go around chugging my forelock for anyone. I'm just me. Take it or leave it. I will be polite.
Well, we'll take you. That's why we love you, Taz.
But I am not better or worse than any of you, or vice versa.
Now, I have a different take on this, because I teach an etiquette class. And generally, when we have actors and actresses who are interested in becoming in the entertainment industry, they learn a hierarchy of how to treat people. And they learn how that we are ourselves, yes, but you're still children. And what does that mean? That means you show up with respect, the utmost respect for your adults and for your peers. And so here in America, we really have to get back to that. Because I think we've lost it. I think we've individualized and we've self-feed ourselves into this whole social awkwardness, to where we treat everybody like we want to be treated. But really, there's no real connection. So we really have to stop and go back to our politeness and our etiquette. And hello, how are you? Eye contact, shake the hand, and just really give... Put a little something more on
it. Sure, that's good.
Because we as We as Americans, yeah. our children have lost that totally. Yeah. We've taught them not to speak to strangers. And guess what? So now we've got a whole generation of rude nincompoops.
Well, you're right to that point, Barbara. Many times I'm walking down the sidewalk.
I'm not sure that's any different to what we were saying, Barbara. I'm not sure that's any different
at all. No,
it's not. That's basic manners. Mm-hmm.
She just says that to make a point because she's real good at that. She'll grab the stage by saying, well, let me just put this other out there. Of course, she's agreeing. Barbara, what else? Real quickly, we're down the last few minutes. I want to take everybody take a look at the list and pull another one out that's near and dear to you. And who's ever ready, fire it away. Let's give a few other tips on there. What else on the list is good, ladies?
Be as optimistic as you can as often as you can.
Which
always.
One?
Always. Be as optimistic as you can as often as you can.
I like that.
And frankly, that's in every moment because there's always a way to view something in a more optimistic way. Again, things don't happen to us. They happen for us. Instead of feeling that you're in the bottom of a shitstorm, ask why and what you can learn from it.
I agree.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I like the one who's that says here, hold yourself to a higher standard. And I think that's really what I'm speaking. And that's my new mantra when I'm dealing with young people is, you know, just because they're doing it, just because so-and-so is doing that, just because so-and-so said that to you, doesn't mean that you have to answer to that.
Yeah, don't be a follower, be a leader, Barbara, right?
Exactly. Absolutely. That's
I'm
the whole
you,
answer to bullying.
I'm
bullying.
With you. That's
you know,
right.
Just because they project that on you, that's not who you are. So hold yourself to a higher standard.
I like that, Barbara.
Exactly.
Raise your bell.
That's
raise
good.
Your bell.
Mm-hmm. That's mm-hmm. good. Shauna, what's one on the list, love?
I think the one that calls out to me is never lose your imagination. And, you know, as adults, we need to be creative. We need to be imagining. Creativity and self-worth, self-esteem, self-connection, they go hand in hand. You can't have one without the other. And so just, you know, lie on your back. Look at the clouds. What's there? Take an art class. You know, read a book and read fiction and let your imagination carry you away. Just once in a while, just make it a practice. Don't lose your imagination.
Yeah, no. I mean, you can't do that. I mean, it's the whole key, Shauna, to everything, I believe, is to be able to imagine. Mm-hmm. You know, Shauna, even when I was at the low moments of life, whatever they were, I could still imagine what life was going to look like ahead. You understand?
Yeah, that connection to, I think it helps with your connection to hope too, right? It's kind of what I was hearing you say. And when we lose hope, then we're not going anywhere.
You're so right. Huh?
Well, we have to be taught faith and who to have faith in so that we can have hope. Because that the faith is actually the evidence of things that are unseen. And if we don't teach our kids a spiritual connection, we're going to have a problem later on. Yeah. Now, the last thing I want to say is, I think it's important to teach children music. I don't care if they don't want to practice, but the idea of understanding that language helps not only them with their math, with
That's
their
true.
Calculations, yeah. with understanding languages, but it also gives them a boost of self-esteem. So therefore, the self-esteem is not because you're attractive, because you're pretty, because mommy loves you, because you look like mommy. The self-esteem is because you can play the piano. People love you for that. You're performing and you learn better how to come out of your shell and how to appreciate yourself and your accomplishments.
Yeah, Barbara, it's good advice, but not even just playing, because some people don't want to play, but listening to music, love, is really a beautiful thing. Music can transcend the soul. It can change your mm-hmm. concept of thinking in minutes. I mean, you put something great on it. Like, I listen, right, Barbara? So I think it's good advice, music in general. I mean, if you can
it's
play it.
It's cognitive therapy. Yeah, it's
absolutely.
Cognitive therapy. That's what it is. It's
it's a beautiful thing.
Magic. Yeah.
I use it all
not
the time,
just
Barbara.
Not just what's on the top 10 of the chart either.
No,
expand yourself beyond that music, you know?
Right.
There's just so many amazing types of music, and every
God.
Different type of music brings you to a different space in yourself. And
I love it.
Mm-hmm. Can you put words to that?
Music's a key, isn't it? It's a key.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I say play it.
Well, I
play
love all kinds of music.
Or sing it. But the top 10, let me tell you something, that's the most dangerous thing that your kid could be involved in. Have you ever listened to it?
Some of it could be. Some of it could be. But, you know, I really do. That's a great thought to leave everybody with is don't forget, friends, the beauty of music. Because when we're busy and we're rushed and we're in this fast-paced life of one challenge after the next after the next. We don't always remember to enjoy these moments. Now, I tell you all the time out there, life is a gift. And we need to embrace that gift. But many of the ways we can do that, one of the ways is through the world of music. You've just heard an assortment of magical ideas here from, you know, from Shauna Peters, Taz Thornton, Barbara McGee, that are amazing. But I love the idea of music. You know, for me, I can listen to Christian music, to alternative rock, to classic rock, to jazz, to the blues, and I can do this all in one morning. And I just love music that way, because it can change the vibe. So it's a beautiful thing, friends. Just turn it on and let music take you away to another place. And you know what? And you know the other cool thing about this? It's another form of meditation. People can't get you when you're in your own world, no matter what is going on. You can shut them off. Turn the music on. Turn a little louder. The hell with it, right? I mean, don't let them get to you. You get to yourself, and you take yourself to another planet. And you know what? They can't follow you to another planet. Ha, 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 ha. So that's the way to do that, friends. Use music as a vibe to do that. Big, big thank you here to Barbara McGee, season one, and who is just a beautiful spirit. Love her faith, her optimism, and such a blessing that she has been on this platform, and somebody I so admire. And her show, L.A. Miracle Cure, you'll find on Saturdays, and Barbara's a great host and doing some really cool things out there. Big, big thank you to Taz Thornton as well for all her beautiful contributions as an inspirational speaker and as a beautiful person. I love all of that, and her pink hair especially. And big, big thank you to Shauna Peters. And Shauna, you know, really came to me by, we met each other through social media a while back, and what a beautiful gift she has been in so many ways. Such advice, such big advice from everybody. So you're listening to the power again of Shauna, Taz, Barbara. The connectivity of that, friends, is amazing. Shauna Peters, Taz Thornton, Barbara McGee. This is Malcolm Out Loud, to be continued, friends.